Welcome to the Susquehanna Valley Baptist Pulpit, preaching a life worth living, abundant life in Christ. And now the message.
Let's take our Bibles and turn to Romans chapter 15. And tonight, I want to talk to you about the desire for encouragement. The desire for encouragement. Let's stand together as we read out of respect to God and His Word. This is the passage of Scripture many years ago that the Lord spoke to my heart about in regard to Hope Biblical Counseling Center. And the Bible says, and so we use the Bible, we skillfully use the Bible to help people with their needs. Now the Bible here says, "We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please who? Ourselves." Now help me out. "Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification," or building up, encouraging. "For even Christ pleased not himself, but as is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me." Now watch carefully. "For whatsoever things were written aforetime," and that's before you and I came around, "were written for our" what, ladies and gentlemen? "Learning, that we through patience and comfort of the" what? "Scriptures might have" what? "Hope." Now, so I take every counselee right here and I say, where is the answer to your problem? What's the Bible say? The Scriptures. The answer to your problem is in the Scriptures. Now move down to verse 13, and it says, "Now the God of hope," and He is the God of hope. "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of" the what? Holy Ghost. Don't miss it. It is through the power of the Holy Spirit. So God wants us to have hope. He's the God of hope. The moment you got saved, the Holy Spirit came to indwell you. You now have power that a lost person doesn't have. And you have the opportunity to be able to see God through the power of the Holy Spirit work in your life and touch others around you and do miraculous and great things. And you can abound in hope. The Bible here says you can have joy, you can have peace in believing. And you are going to have to believe that. That you may abound in hope. Abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, tonight we thank you for the opportunity to come here to this place and this church, this good church. And God, we thank you tonight for people who've come out to listen. And I pray for the power of the Holy Spirit tonight. Lord, I submit myself to you now. And I pray that you will open your word to us. I pray that the Holy Spirit will be our teacher. I pray, God, if there is a person here tonight who is unsaved, that they might come to a saving knowledge of you. I pray for any Christian here tonight who's out of fellowship with you, that their fellowship might be restored. And God, I pray that you'll meet with us now, the next few minutes, that you'll be honored and glorified and lifted up. My mind, my heart, I want to be yours. And again, in submission to you, please work in our hearts tonight. I need your help. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Now, I'm going to give you some tools tonight. You know, Pastor Starnes, when Kim and I got married, she did a horrible thing. She bought me a toolbox. It was a Craftsman toolbox. Filled with tools. Now, I'm not mechanically inclined. Me and a hammer, not even close to being friends. She's mechanically inclined. So around our house, when something needs to be done, I read the instructions and she puts it together. Okay? Now, my point with all of that is this. If you never take the tools out of the toolbox, folks, nothing ever gets fixed. And God has given you a lot of tools. Wouldn't it have been great when we got saved that God had taken away our old nature, but he didn't. But he sent the Holy Spirit to indwell us, and he also gave us tools to use to be able to deal with our dark side. Now, in your life, you're going to have to learn and understand that your flesh isn't going to get any weaker. And you're going to also have to learn that you have to take control of your dark side. You now have the power to do that by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? You have the power to deal with your dark side. And don't sit here and tell me you don't have it. I know you do. Because the Bible says you do. And I deal with it every day. Now, back in August, our dog died. I love that dog. He was a Beagle Basset mix. And whenever he'd bark, his front paws would come up off the ground. And whenever he'd come back in from outside, he'd come running in. If I was sitting in my recliner, he'd come in, and he would jump up on me, and he would put his head right here and lay there and give me a hug. So we decided to get another dog. And we decided that we were going to get a full-blooded Beagle puppy. What a mess. Okay, I mean a mess. And so he's 6 months old now. And his name's Rocky. Pastor Sar said I could see that, okay? His name's Rocky. And he's being boarded. So Kim called and said, how's Rocky doing? And she said, he's starting to bark a little bit more now. And the lady at the vet says, yeah, I think that's the one I've been hearing. And, you know, so he is a mess. And so, but he has to come to a place of being trained. And we're working on that. But my wife has told me, don't ever think about getting another puppy again. Don't ever do that again, you know. And so, you know, ladies and gentlemen, sometimes we got to realize that the Holy Spirit does have to do some training in our life. Okay? That the Holy Spirit does have to do some training in our life. Now, I want to turn back to Galatians chapter 5. And I want you to see this. And by the way, give you something that's very important here. Now, in Galatians chapter 5, but I want you to understand this. If you're going to make biblical long-term change in your life, and that's what we're after, biblical long-term change, you're going to have to learn the fours. You're going to have to learn Philippians 4, Ephesians 4, and James 4. Those are the three chapters that are the change chapters of the Bible. And so consequently, we have our counselees work very hard in those books. Now, let me show this to you, and I know you've probably seen this. But notice what verse 16 says in Galatians chapter 5. It says, this I say then, watch now, walk in the what, ladies and gentlemen? Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Now I want you to understand here, how many of you walked in here tonight without a problem? Okay? But it wasn't always that you could do it. Remember, you had to get up, you had to stand up, then you had to learn how to walk, and then you were able to walk. But it took practice. And so it is in the Christian life that if you are a person who has never embraced the Holy Spirit in your life, you don't know how to walk. you don't know how to walk. It says here, walk in the Spirit. Got it? Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now look at verse 24, and it says, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and what, folks? Did you notice it's plural, meaning more than one? Remember 82? If we live in the Spirit, let us also what? Walk in the Spirit. In essence, if you're saved and the Holy Spirit's come to indwell you, then you're going to have to learn how to walk in the Spirit. Amen? The sadness today is that most people in an independent Baptist church don't have a clue about what that's about. They're serving, they're living in the power of the flesh. And yet, they're discouraged, they're defeated, they're downtrodden, they're angry, they're bitter. And yet, they don't understand why. Nor do they even understand how to deal with it. And so consequently, God wants you to learn how to walk in the Spirit. Period. We're to be filled and controlled by the Holy Spirit. We're to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is our comforter. He's our teacher. And yet, we ignore Him. And we just go on in our everyday lives like everything's okay. It's not okay. And quite frankly, that's the reason why we get to talk to so many people that their life is in a mess. 99% of the people that we talk to are independent Baptist people whose lives are in a mess. They do not understand why. And yet when they start to learn what it means to walk in the Spirit, things start to change. Light bulb comes on. Why did I not see this before now? Why did I not understand this before now? All right, so let's turn back to Philippians chapter 4. Okay? Philippians chapter 4. And I want to read to you verse 4. Now, please pay attention and listen carefully because you're going to learn two of the most important tools in the Bible for your life tonight. It says here, rejoice in the Lord, what? And again, I say what? Rejoice. Now, I'm a question asker. So, listen carefully. I want you to think with me. Is that your life? Well, you know, I've even had preachers tell me, that's not possible. Well, if God says it's possible, amen? Because look at verse 13. I can do what? All things through Christ, which what? Strengtheneth me. So, yes, it is possible because God says it's possible. But the average person that we see and the average person in the church today, they're not rejoicing in the Lord. They're not focused in on rejoicing in the Lord. They don't even know how to get there. Now, notice verse 5. What is the first word, verse 5, folks? Help me. What's the first word? Let. Whenever you see let at the start of a verse, it means somebody's got to make a decision. So let your moderation, the word here moderation means self-control or spirit control, be known unto all men, the Lord is at hand. Now, Verse 6 says, be careful, or the word careful here means anxious for nothing. Do you know what is the largest hit on our YouTube page? How to deal with worry, anxiety, and fear. Huge. So if we're living in worry and anxiety and fear, are we trusting God? The answer is no. Because we're living in the power of the flesh instead of being a spirit-controlled person. Now follow closely here, because here's the first tool. Be careful or anxious for nothing. Now watch. But in everything by prayer and supplication with what, ladies and gentlemen? Thanksgiving. Huge word biblically. Used more than 147 times. Now whenever God wants to make a point in the Bible, what's He do? He repeats it. Thanksgiving. And supplication. Supplication means to ask for something humbly. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Now, look over at verse 8, last phrase. And if there be any what? Verse 8. And if there be any praise. Think on these things. So the tool that God has given to you is thanksgiving and praise. Now, you're going to have to follow me. Counseling is a build-on, okay? Okay, now God has given you a tool which is called thanksgiving and praise. A lot of scripture on it. Because God wants you to learn it. He wants you to know it. And so consequently now, let's talk about our thought life for a minute. Now I know I just went from preaching to meddling, because I'm going to talk about your thought life. We're going to come back here, okay? But turn back to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And I want you to look with me at verse 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 3. Now listen to me. You are, everything starts right here. You are what you think. You can't stop an evil thought from coming to your mind, but you can stop it from staying there. Now, we have all of our counselees every day. And one of the great tools that God has given to us is the ability to ask Him questions. Because if I'm going to have a real, intimate, personal, and passionate relationship with God, it's going to be one where it's interactive. So I can ask God questions. And in fact, ladies and gentlemen, the most powerful passages of Scripture in the Bible on asking God questions came from one of the most hurtful things that could ever happen to an individual. Now, I want you to hear me here and understand here that I can ask God questions. And that's another great tool that we have. But think about this here. Verse 3 says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Now, quite frankly, most people in church today are living a life not spirit-controlled. They're not walking in the Spirit. They're living a flesh-controlled life, and they do not understand why they're miserable. Got it? They don't understand why they're miserable. So, in essence, he's clarifying for us. Our warfare is not after the flesh here. Verse 4, for the weapons of our warfare are not what, ladies and gentlemen? Carnal. So if we're going to try to do the work of the God in the power of the flesh, that's blatant carnality. By the way, the word carnal means selfish. Now watch. So the weapons are, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Strongholds where? In your mind. Now, you know, the word strongholds means this. Figuratively, a heavily fortified containment, and is used of a false argument in which a person seeks shelter or a safe place to escape reality. So in our counseling intake form, we ask the question, do you ever think about living in a different place? Living in a different time? Living with a different person? Because they think it is a safe place. You know? What's your name, sir? Josh, you know what they think? Nobody knows. Nobody knows that I'm doing that. I got news for you. God knows. God knows. And people focus in on fantasizing about living in a different time, a different place, with a different person, and it gets even bigger than that. So it's a stronghold. It becomes a stronghold in their mind. So that when something happens, they immediately go to that place rather than to go to God. And we teach all of our counselees, they got to go to God first. Amen? Not your best bud. By the way, that's codependent behavior. Not your best buddy. But go to God first. We teach all of our counselees, you've got to learn to go to God first. Now watch what it says here. Casting down imaginations. And that word imaginations means fantasies. And every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And somebody says, was that possible? I've had even people that are in spiritual leadership positions in counseling say, I don't think that's possible. Yes, it is. Because God has commanded it to be done. But He's also given us the tools through the power of the Holy Spirit to get it done. So, let's just say, for the purpose of what we're doing tonight, that an evil thought comes into your mind, or an impure thought. And you play with that thought for a little bit. Now, most people don't even know that they need to deal with the thought. It's just like living like a lost person. That thought comes into my mind, I'm going to play with that one for a little bit. Then the next one comes into my mind, I'll play with that one for a little bit. Next one comes into my mind, I'll play with that one for a little bit. Next one comes into my mind, I'll play with that one for a little bit. I have news for you. At the point of impact that you allow that to happen, you are now out of fellowship with God. Do you hear me? You are now out of fellowship. Doesn't mean you've lost your salvation. It means you're out of fellowship with God because you're not using the tools that God has given to you. So let's go back and look at those tools. Turn back to Philippians 4. Philippians 4. Now, remember thanksgiving and praise. So listen carefully to me. Everybody, pay attention right now. At the point of impact, you're going to have spiritual impact moments every day. And all of it's going to be right here. So at the point of impact, immediately, James 4:7 says, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil and he'll what? Flee from you. So I have to make that a practical thing of submission. So at the point of impact, when that thought comes, you can't play with that thought, because now you have to, just like when you got saved. Now listen to me carefully. You trusted Jesus Christ for the saving of your soul to take you to heaven, didn't you? Now if you're not saved tonight, let us help you. But you trusted Jesus Christ with your soul to take you to heaven. So why wouldn't you trust Him for your everyday life? Y'all with me? So if I'm going to play with these thoughts out here all the time, and I'm not going to take control of my dark side, I'm going to be out of fellowship with God. I'm going to be a person who is not controlled by the Holy Spirit. I'm going to be a person who is grieving the Holy Spirit. And therefore, I can't encourage anybody. And if there's one thing right now that we need, it's Spirit-controlled people that know how to encourage others. Amen? Y'all following me? One of the things that's appalling to me, it is appalling to me, the lack of attention that Christians pay to their fellowship with God. So I have my counselees ask God 3 questions every day. Number 1, is there any sin that stands between you and me? Okay? Is there any sin that stands between you and me? Now, Pastor Starnes, do you believe if you ask God that question, He'll show you? Absolutely. Now, you know, the average Christian says, forgive me for all of my sins. My question is, what are they? There is no change in fuzzy land. Now that takes us to another spot, because you now are saying that you have presumptuous sins in your life and you're presuming that God is not going to do anything about it. And I'll show you the passage in a minute. Being out of fellowship with God is a dangerous place. And so immediately at a spiritual impact moment, when an evil thought comes or someone says something to me, you know, that I don't like. You know, honey, you got something on your arm there. You know, it's all over your dress arm there. You need to take care of yourself better. Well, that'd be a hurtful thing to say, wouldn't it? Yes or no? Now, you have an opportunity to respond, not be a people responder, but be a God responder. So immediately, Lord, I want to submit myself to You. I want to turn this over to You. What do You want me to praise You for? And what do You want me to thank You for? Got it? Now look at verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. I have a question for you. Is there anything negative in verse 8? No. Not nothing. Nothing there. Negative. So the moment you submit yourself to God and say, I want to turn this over to You, you are now allowing the power of the Holy Spirit to deal in your life. And what do You want me to praise You for and thank You for, rather than saying, boy, I'll tell you what, I don't like her at all. She says that kind of garbage to me, and she goes home and tells her husband, I can't believe she said that. Oh, I think Pastor Sarnes ought to bring her up for church discipline. Y'all get it? Now, is that godly? Is your response as ungodly as her conversation was to you? So we have to learn to be a people responder or a God responder and not people responder by turning people over to God at the point of impact. Now, ladies and gentlemen, so let's take it a little farther. Turn back to Hebrews chapter 13. Tools. The tools of thanksgiving and praise. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15. Now, take your pen, circle it here. By him, therefore, let us. Now, let means I got to make a what? A decision. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God when? Continually. That means at the point of impact. That is the fruit of our lips giving what, ladies and gentlemen? Thanks to his name. So when somebody says something, or your husband, your wife, you know, the neighbor, somebody here at church, or somebody doesn't do what they're supposed to do, those kinds of things, I don't want to be a people responder. I want to be a God responder. So I'm going to, this is continual, it says here. So it's at the point of impact that I immediately submit myself to God. Lord, what do you want me to praise you for? What do you want me to thank you for? And you know what's going to happen? What's your name, sir? Jeff, you know what's going to happen? Something nice is going to pop into your mind that you can thank God for. We had a lady in our church, and so we teach our counselees that every day in the back of their devotional book that they can write down things. And I ask, you know, I do this every day. You know, once I'm done with my devotions, I want to ask God, is there anything that I can praise you and thank you for? And I'll write several things down. As of this morning, and I do it in a college-ruled notebook, it's about 6 months' worth of devotional things. As of this morning, I've got over 3,800 things that I've wrote down to thank God for. Amen? We had one lady in our church that wrote down over 100,000 things that she could thank God for. We're living our lives in the flesh and we're living unthankful lives. Man, you look around you here today, can't you be thankful for this building? Amen? God has blessed you. But you know what? Every now and then I write down on my, what can I thank God for? I write down Rocky. Now I'm sure Kim has a tougher time with that than I do. But you know what? I wrote down my other dog. It doesn't have to be some spiritual, theological. But is there something that really encourages you? Maybe you like flowers. Maybe you all kinds of different things. What can I thank you for today, Lord? So that my life is not being a negative experience in the power of the flesh, but I'm submitting myself to God at the point of impact, using the tools of praise and thanksgiving that he has given me so that I can be an encourager of others. Now let's back up for a minute. I said three things. So I have our counselees ask God, is there any sin that stands between you and me? Now, Jeremiah 17 says, verse 9, that we can't know our heart, it's desperately wicked. But it also says, and verse 10, that God searches our heart. So I'm going to ask God to search my heart every day. And I'm going to ask him to show me if there's any sin that stands between me and him. He'll show it to me. I confess it. I repent of it. And then I move on and I ask God, is there any hurt that I'm allowing to control me today? Okay. Hurt is an easy thing to get in your life. And so, you know, people, and with hurt in Psalm 37, it goes up the flesh cycle, fret, envy, anger, wrath, evil cycle. And it doesn't take long for many people to get up there, and hurt can easily become bitterness. And so we ask people to ask God to show them if there's any hurt that they're allowing to control them in their life. I'll give you an example. Now, Pastor Starnes, I find myself in this position now. All of my mentors have went to be with the Lord. I'm now a mentor. I never thought I would get to this day by my age. And one of the things that we're trying to do with Hope Biblical Counseling Center is to help as many people as we possibly can with the time that we have left. Decades of study is now coming into fruition in the last years of our life. One of my mentors, who I really thank God for, who's now in heaven, was a great Bible teacher. And he took over, in a generation preceding ours, he took over one of the largest churches in the country at that time and took over from one of the greatest Bible teachers that ever lived. And if I told the names, you would know who they are. Most people would. And when my mentor took over this new church, one of the deacons was just absolutely did not like him. And in every deacon's meeting, he made sure he understood that he didn't like him. And no matter what they were going to do, he was against it. And so consequently, my friend tried to do different things to help the man along the way, but nothing worked. And eventually the man got so angry, he left the church. And my friend was like, he asked the Lord, he said, did I do anything? What could I have done? What did I do here? Did I do anything? And the Lord said, no, just turn him over to me. And he said the first week or two, he said, that was really tough. He said, I had to turn him over to God multiple times a day at the point of impact. He said, because he was hateful and mean and arrogant and ugly and tried to do harm. And he said, so I just kept turning him over to God. And he said, day by day, it got easier. And he said, after 6 months, he said, he may have come up every now and then. But he said, you know what? He said, after 6 months, I really didn't even think about him at all after that. Because I had come to the place to be emotionally free, and I'd turned him over to God. And every time he came up, you know, Satan wants to make sure that those things come up and cause you problems. And so he said, I turned him over, and you know what? It's after 6 months, didn't even think about him. Fast forward 10 years. A Monday morning, he's in this huge auditorium. He's walking around praying. He's taking hymnals, and he's straightening them up, as many preachers do. And he's praying as he's going, and he said in the back, all the way down at the back, he said the front door opened, and he said a guy walked in. He said he looked horrible. Said, you know, he said he was dirty, he was filthy, had long hair, beard down to his belly, and torn clothes, and looked like he had been sleeping outside, and so on down the line. And he said, I was a little concerned because I was in the building by myself. But then he said, I thought that I recognized the guy. But he said, I couldn't place him. And the guy walks up to him and he says, you don't remember me, do you? And he said, you know, he said, you look familiar, but I just can't place you. And the guy told him his name. And my friend said, really? And he said, I have come here today to apologize to you and ask for your forgiveness. And he said, "Will you accept my apology?" And my friend said, "Well, sure." He said, "I forgive you." He said, "Can I do anything for you? Can I get you a place to stay, get you some food, get you some clothes, get you a bath?" He said, "I just want you to know that I've lost my home. I've lost my wife. I've lost my children. I've lost my business. I've lost everything I ever had because I hated you. And I'm here today to ask you to forgive me." Now, folks, it may take God some time to break a person down, but if you will trust God with that rather than getting yourself all worked up, you know, and wanting to be striking back at the individual, turn them over to God. Amen? At the point of impact, what do you want me to praise you for? I'm going to submit myself to you. What do you want me to praise you for? What do you want me to thank you for? And your life is going to be a lot better. And you know what? The Bible says the just shall live by faith. Amen? Faith to faith. So today I'm going to trust God by faith with those spiritual impact moments. Tomorrow I'm going to trust God by faith with those spiritual impact moments. The next day I'm going to trust God by faith for those spiritual impact moments. And I'm going to be walking in the what? Walking in the Spirit. Now there's more to it than that. I want you to understand, but I've only got one sermon session here. You know, I know this has been a great help to my life and to my wife's life and to our church folks' lives and to our counselees' lives. The last thing that I have my counselees ask God is this, every day. Now, you wouldn't have thought to come to church today if you hadn't taken a bath for a week, would you? Now, you don't have to raise your hand if you haven't taken a bath for a week, all right? But you know, that would be a good reason to have social distancing, amen? And you know what? There are Christians that haven't taken a spiritual bath in a long time. Out of fellowship with God, and their life shows it. Let me tell you this. You better take your fellowship with God extremely seriously. And you don't want nothing to come between you and God. Amen? Absolutely nothing. And so the last question that we have is, not only are we going to ask God, is there any hurt that I am allowing to control my life right now? The last thing is, and we deal with this a lot, is there any bitterness in my heart right now? Now, bitterness is a root sin. And the Bible says it can spring up quickly and defiles many. So if you don't deal with hurt, you don't deal with your sins, you don't deal with things at the spiritual impact moment, you're going to have bitterness in your life. And bitterness can cause great damage to you and to the people around you. So, God, is there any bitterness in my heart right now? I want you to show it to me. And then ask God for forgiveness. Repent of it. Turn from it. But here's the other thing. Because it is a root sin and it's very powerful, you need to ask God to take it out of your heart. Amen? Because He's the one that can take it out. So you ask God to take it out of your heart. Now, at that moment, if I've dealt with any sin that God shows me, if I have dealt with any hurt that I might be feeling, whether it be personal or circumstantial, from a person or from a circumstance, and I've dealt with any bitterness that I have in my heart, then I'm ready to have a real, intimate, personal, and passionate relationship with God in His Word today. And then I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to teach me. And by the way, He will. I got saved in 1974. I was almost 20 years old. In 1973, I was the 78th player taken in the Major League Baseball free agent draft by the San Francisco Giants. It's a pitcher. Threw the baseball 95 miles an hour. That's playing good old country hardball. I came home in the off-season, United Parcel Service driver witnessed to me and I got saved. Took his lunch hour every day for 7 months to talk to me about Jesus Christ. After I'd already told him I was going to bust him in the mouth if he didn't leave me alone. You can come here and talk to me about the wind, the moon, the stars, whatever you want to do, but don't be messing with me. I don't want to hear it. I don't believe in God. But he didn't give up. He kept praying. He got up from his dinner table at different times and went to his bedroom and prayed for my soul. But I ended up getting saved, and I'm so thankful for Rick Bratcher. And I told the Giants that I couldn't play anymore. They thought I was nuts. I wrote them a letter, said I got saved. They wrote me back a letter and said, we're not going to renegotiate your contract. They thought I was trying to renegotiate my contract. I told them I wasn't playing no more. I got saved. Tell me your name again. It takes me three times the names. Josh, right? You know why I told them I couldn't play anymore, Josh? Because they played baseball on Sunday, and Sunday's the Lord's Day, and I need to be in the Lord's house on Sunday. Amen. And I knew immediately that my career was in conflict with my Christian life. A year later, I was at Tennessee Temple. Now, I have 4 degrees now. They're all earned. But you know what? As a young person, and I don't recommend this, going to Bible college, being saved a year, but I did. And I found myself behind everybody else. And I remember walking down the alley going from our apartment over to the school, some days in tears, telling God, I am so far behind everybody else. Please teach me. Please. And he did. And so now I'm at the point of my life, after decades of study, that I'm able to try to help others. And help them to have a real, intimate, personal, and passionate relationship with God. And that's what Hope Biblical Counseling Center is all about, is making biblical long-term change in people's lives. Now, I do want you to understand, we can't do it for you. I do not have a magic wand. I can't smack you in the head and make you super Christian. And if you don't want to make change, you won't make it. But tonight is a place to start. If you understand tonight that you better understand what it means to walk in the Spirit and be controlled by the Holy Spirit and deal with those spiritual impact moments, if you don't learn it and you don't practice it, you're going to fail. And if you're not into the Bible, listen to me, if you're not into your Bible in fellowship with God, your reading is doing nothing. Because he's not going to teach you while you're out of fellowship with him. I'm going to go to one last passage of Scripture tonight. Now let's see what it says. Proverbs chapter 13. Two passages, by the way. Sorry, Proverbs 13. I want you to look with me. Proverbs 13, and we're going to be done here. So when people, we're going to look at verse 12 first. So when remember I said to you that hope wasn't closed, but hope can be deferred. In verse 12 it says, hope deferred maketh the heart sick. But when the desire cometh, it's a tree of life. Now, so when people are losing hope and they're coming to us with losing hope or have lost hope, their heart is sick. You got it? Their heart is sick. Now, watch what else it says. But when the desire cometh, it's like a tree of life. When we see people in our counseling program or in the counseling conferences and church conferences, when they actually get at something and you see a light bulb come on, it's like a tree of life. You know, years ago we bought a house. We were planning to retire in it, but we didn't. And we decided we were going to do the landscaping. My wife likes pine trees. She wanted to go down to the front. We were near a, and we put some pine trees down there, but we had a ditch that went down beside that. We were out on a cul-de-sac right at the end of the country in the cornfield. And we planted those little trees, and the water would come down that ditch, and those things just, I mean, boom, baby, just came up and grew and grew and grew. And you know what? When a person really gets it, that they have to learn to submit to God, walk in the Spirit, be controlled by the Holy Spirit, have fellowship with God, guess what's going to happen? When they get it, it's like a tree of life. And my heart is no longer what?
Sick.
So now, but listen, so in essence, I want to ask you the last question. How many of you have ever read down your Bible and you read down to the end of the chapter and you don't have a clue about what you read? You ever do that? Notice what the Bible says. Whoso, verse 13, whoso despiseth the word shall be what? What's it say, ladies and gentlemen? Destroyed. It didn't say might be. It didn't say possibly could be. It said shall be destroyed. Now you know what the word despiseth here means? Does not give proper attention to. So when you are focusing in your life in a way that says I'm living my Christian life in the power of the flesh and you're going through the motions and reading your Bible, you're despising the word. And where is your ultimate destination going to be then as a Christian? Shall be what? Destroyed. Just like Romans 10:13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It didn't say might be. It didn't say possibly could be. It said shall be. And this passage of Scripture, one of the things that has helped me with my faith, quite frankly, because all we get to deal with are destructed people that come to us are already in destruction mode. So the Bible's true. Now, I want you to go back to Psalm 19 and verse 13. Now, you may think tonight, oh, that's a lot of good stuff. Man, that's great teaching. But I'm going to continue to do my life just the way I was doing it. Well, that's bad news. Psalm 19, verse 13 says, or verse 12 says, who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Now watch what happens next, ladies and gentlemen. Keep back thy servant also from what kind of sins? Presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Now, what is a presumptuous sin here? You've now heard the Word of God tonight. You have a decision to make. You have a decision whether you're going to continue to live your life in the power of the flesh or that you're going to make a change now to be truly in fellowship with God and you're going to walk in the Spirit. And you know what? If you choose not to, it's because you're holding on to a presumptuous sin. And it's a sin that you know it's there, but you don't really want to deal with it. Now, you're presuming that God ain't going to do nothing about it. Now, I want you to understand tonight what you've heard God wanted you to hear, and if you don't respond to it, and you want to continue to live a life with presumptuous sin and the power of the flesh, you're going to have a major malfunction. And you really and truly need to take heed. Because when words like destroyed come up, those are serious words, aren't they, Pastor? They're serious. And God is serious. And that's the reason why we're doing what we're doing, is because the people that we deal with are ignorant of what God's Word says. Sadly, we deal with missionaries, pastors. No reflection here, okay? We deal with missionaries, we deal with pastors, we deal with people who are still living their life in the power of the flesh in the church. And yet they don't understand why they're so miserable. Well, you've heard it tonight. Now, God wants you to make change. He wants you to understand that now's your opportunity. Don't let it go by. Don't go back to living a life out of fellowship with God. Deal with God tonight on that issue. And if you're tonight unsaved, why don't you come tonight? And Pastor will show you how to get saved. Or I can. Or there's others here I'm sure that can. But you as a Christian here tonight, this might be a life-saving moment for you if you really hear and understand what I've talked about this evening. This is your moment. This is your moment in time where God wants to reach down and change your life through the power of the Holy Spirit. Let Him do it. And you'll see God do great and miraculous and wonderful things in your life if you will come to that place. Let's stand together.
Thank you for listening. If you'd like to contact us, please write us at P.O. Box 126-541, Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, 17112. And visit our website at www.svbcpa.org. Until next time.